You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Of the English language does not confine flow rider. He just goes with the flow. That's why he named himself Flow Rider. Bring a friend. Good morning to you on a Tuesday. All Marine Radio commences operations this morning. So I fire my operation up here this morning. And Onion Man up in Vacaville. Yeah, Vacaville. You drive through Vacaville, you smell onions, man. I know, trust me. I drove through Vacaville much of my life, up to the time I was 21 or so. Going to baseball games in Oakland and San Francisco from my hometown of Sacramento. You drive through Vacaville every time. Once there, once back. You could be sleeping, right? You know you're about, 40 minutes outside of Sacramento when you drive through, when you smell the onions. You're sleeping. Oh, Vacaville. That's right. They had a good football team, so they had a coach by the name of, I think his name is Frank Zupko, and he had a son that played. I think his son was named Matt, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. How does that get on All Marine Radio? Oh, because Onion Man's from Vacaville. If I Google it. If I Google it, there's a whole bunch of Zupkos in Vacaville. Holy smokes. Anyway, he's a big football coach, and they had, farm kids, man. Oh. Dave says the onion factory has been gone for years. It doesn't matter, right? You're onion man. Deal with it. So Dave sent this. Looking forward to your report on your meeting with school officials. Let me tell you what we're going to do on the program today, because I'm excited. I'm excited about the program today. You're going to meet a Gold Star son, who I met over the weekend. Lost his father when he was 4 months old. The father was killed in March of 1968 at Quezon. His father is Ronald Reyes, PFC, United States Marine Corps. 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, killed in action on March 30th, 1968, Quezon, Vietnam. And so he told me this incredible story about being a Gold Star son, about beginning to go to reunions and connecting with Marines who knew his father. And I'll let him tell his own story. Ultimately connecting with the Marine that was in the fighting position with his dad when his father saw a friend of his get hit and go down. And he went to get him once, and this other Marine stopped him. He went to get him, I think, a second time, and he stopped him a second time, and then he waited till the Marine wasn't close to him, or at least as far as that you could be in a fighting position, and then when he was killed. He was killed going to the aid of a fellow Marine and a friend. And he finds out that this guy names his son after his dad, that he goes to visit the Vietnam Wall and his father, I want to say every year, or very regular, on a regular basis. And so this process of being a Gold Star son and then investigating, he's been adopted. Adopted is not even the right word. He's found his place in a tribe that he didn't even know about, a tribe that welcomes him and loves him. And so it's a very cool story. So that's just part of it, though. So you'll hear from Ron Reyes, the son. And he lives here in Southern California, and actually not too far from me. And he's also gone back to Vietnam with other Gold Star family members. He was part of a program, and he'll tell you about it, where Gold Star children from the United States met Gold Star children from Vietnam. And so now his life, I want to say what you'll hear is this transformation from being this Gold Star son to kind of going down this trail of discovery, and now it almost coming full circle where he's helping other Gold Star offspring to go down that road, to connect with this tribe that they don't know about, if they choose to, and much like we do here, and grow. And, you know, we talk about, you know, some of the steps of dealing with post-traumatic stress. One is realizing that there's a lot of people on this planet that are affected by it, that the United States military did not corner the market on it. Okay, so you're one of many. And there's a lot of other people that live with it and live very, very productive lives. And if they can do it, you can do it. Two, once you begin to kind of get your own act together and you can begin to help other people, I think that is those two steps are the single most important steps. And other people will disagree with me. I don't really give a shit. Okay. But when you begin to help other people, it has a huge impact on the way you look at yourself. In their struggles, you see your own. You see you're not unique, and I think that's pretty important. And if they can do it, I can do it. Right? And the other thing to acknowledge is that there's other people on this planet that depend on me, and I need to be around for them. And so I got to deal with this. And so we, who signed up, we fought for it. Ron Reyes, he didn't sign up for anything. He's just a son. We drug him into it. That's why I told him, yeah, man, let me just tell you, the tribe, you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. So, exactly. The hotel warrior. Yeah, it's a hotel inside the tribal grounds. You can check out. You can't leave. So anyway, so Ron Ray is going to join us, and excited for you to hear his story. Very cool. Also play a video that he sent me. It's called the Two Sides Project, and I think I haven't watched it yet. It's a 90-second trailer about his trip to Vietnam. So I'll play that for you. You can hear the audio, but very cool. And then the Gunner's going to come on today. We're going to do a little gun talk on the Glock 19. So there's a program that you can buy a discounted Glock if you're so inclined. So we're going to do gun talk today. Okay, so since I've been asked, I got there and I found the choir room where the PTA meeting is, and so the woman running the meeting, very nice, says that, hey, I'm sorry, but the principal couldn't be here, the assistant principal can't be here, and the school resource officer can't be here. And she said, so you're stuck with me. And so, I mean, obviously, doesn't get off to a great start. And especially when you're going to talk about security. Now, 1,200 students in the school, so it's not a big school by any stretch of the imagination, as high schools go. I was the only man. I think there might have been one other that showed up. And there might have been a total of 50 people there. I would even say that's stretching it. Maybe 35 people there. I would say half of them were people that had positions in the PTO, PTAA. I'm not sure what they call it, the official title. And so there wasn't that many people there. And so they went through their meeting, their minutes, and their agenda, and there was motions made and seconded and passed. And I'm no stranger to all that, having served on a city council in the chef's hometown for 4 years, and ran for mayor and lost there. It still irritates me. Not that I lost, but who I lost to. Good God. Anywho, but running against incumbents, it's bad business unless something's really wrong. So, I was young and idealistic at the time. So I waited, and she then went through the things that they're doing relative to security. For the school, you know, we've shown a videotape to our students. We do earthquake drills twice a year. We do fire drills twice a year. We do this, we do that. So she went through her thing, and she just finally said, are there any questions? And I put my hand up, and I said, well, I have a comment to make. And I said, and I'm going to aim this at you, but I know you're just the person standing here. She said, thank you. And I said, we've all watched what's going on in the news, and I know that in this school district you have 4 community resource officers for 38 schools. And she made a point, a little bit later she made a point, but I'll make it now, that those resource officers, their job really isn't security. They do mentoring, they do outreach, they help us if we're looking into something, but their job isn't security. We have security people on campus, but none of them are armed. Okay, so I inject that now. So I said, I came down here to to make 2 points. One is that when we drop our kids off at school, we don't expect to go pick them up at the morgue. And it's your responsibility to do everything in your power as a school district, to make sure that that doesn't happen. Now, I understand that the district is studying this event and that a report is due out in August. So I wanted to come down and tell you that I don't think that's acceptable, that I think by the time you implement the 100% solution, that you have taken too much risk with our children's lives. And you don't have that right. You have a moral responsibility to act. So what is the 75% solution? One, I didn't come down here, and I stole from Andrew Pollack. I didn't come down here to talk about guns in our society. I didn't come down here to talk about mental health in our society. All I came down here to talk about is you protecting my daughter. Okay? And so here's what I think you ought to do. I think you need to get armed people on campus, and I think you need to do that in a hurry. Because if you don't do that, what you're essentially doing is you're making a bet with the lives of our kids. And that is, well, in spite of what we've seen around the country, we're going to bet that it doesn't happen here. And then by August, you know, we'll get a report back from a committee that we formed for the 100% solution. Okay, well, this isn't like the gym floor cracked. It's not that kind of issue. This can't be business as usual for you. And let me tell you why. If you, in your position of responsibility, fail to act, and something happens at one of your 38 schools, you will live with it forever. As a member of the school board, you'll go down to the school. You'll see the carnage. You'll see the images on television. You'll probably go to funerals. Some of you will go to funerals. You'll be singled out by people at those events as somebody who could have possibly prevented or mitigated this and failed to act. At subsequent board meetings, this room will be full. And you will have angry parents screaming at you, asking you why you didn't act. So the solution is, there are plenty of retired police officers and retired military people. And I don't mean people in the military that served for 3 years and got out. I would tell you that what you want is stable people who spent a career around firearms and been there. All right. So in my opinion, police officers who were patrol officers are certainly number one. Okay. Because the skill that you want, that you have to have, is shots get fired and somebody simply moved to the sounds of those shots. Who knows what that entailed? Not somebody who sets the perimeter and is going to manage the event. You want somebody who has in their life experience been shot at and dealt with that, and knows that at that point in their life that I've got to do something and isn't afraid to do something. And that's not everybody who ever wore a uniform or wore a badge. Okay, so they're retired. They're probably not looking for a full-time job. Excuse me. So pay them some kind of 1099 cash stipend. You know, get probably two people a day to work 5 hours a day. Do that a couple times a week. Hire a group of those people, and your school is secured and it's covered. And you do that until you can roll out your larger solution. Now, I want to submit to you that having sat on a city council, that I understand budgets. I understand that you have other priorities for money. But there can be no greater priority for you than protecting our kids. None. And we expect you to do that. So if you need money, you need to put your hand up. And you need to scream at the state of California. Okay? You need to scream at your senior school district. And you need to say, we need money. Now, when we build roads, there's normally a federal, state, and local share. Federal is like 50%, state is 30, and local might be 20. That's how we afford major thoroughfares and the repairs, you know, done to those thoroughfares that run through your community. And those percentages vary. So you need to lead in requesting funds or creating a program. Because if you don't, and this is my point, I want to kind of take you on a journey that, Clarence the Angel took George Bailey on. Okay? That is the future should you fail to act in this case. Should you fail to act and something happens, you will never sleep another peaceful night in your life. And I say that as no exaggeration. Those of us who served and have gone in harm's way know of people that failed. And not that Marines got killed, that at the end of it, when they reviewed what they should have done, they failed. They didn't prepare themselves for it. They didn't prepare their subordinates for it. And they didn't take the appropriate action. Not to be infallible, because shit does happen, especially when there's a competing will against you. But we're professionals, just as you are elected officials of this community. There are certain prudent things that you ought to do. And if you fail to do that, and you fail to act, there isn't one dedicated security officer that's armed in 38 schools that you preside over. If anything happens, you will never, ever, ever sleep another peaceful night in your life. And that is not an exaggeration. It is simply showing you the future. So a 75% solution is good enough in the interim. And then the 100% solution down the road is acceptable. But don't take forever to implement it. So the surprising thing after that was, so I sat there, and then other people make comments after my comment. And then I think they talked about something else, and so I waited. And then the meeting ended. And I had a bunch of people come up to me and stop me and say, and first one was a woman I know from volleyball. Colleen plays volleyball. And she stopped me. And she said, thank you, you need to get more involved. And I said, well, I know the school board meeting's tomorrow night, so I'll be at that. She said, but we have this group, this advisory group that you need to be a part of. I said, well, I'll be a part of anything that you need me to be a part of. She said, because most of the people that come here to talk about these things and go see the board, they're angry. They're not as measured as you are, and they don't have the experiences that you've had to speak with the authority that you speak with. I said, well, I'm just a parent. And this other woman said, no, you're not. And I laughed, and she said, and she introduced herself, and she said, you need to get more involved. And I said, okay. Another woman was a counselor in the schools, and she said, you know, this school and a couple, she named a couple others, she said, are pretty secure schools. She said, but I go into some where I feel, you know, like completely vulnerable at the school. I said, yeah, but here's the bet, though. When you don't have anybody on the campus that's armed, the bet is that it's not going to happen. That the probability of it happening to us is zero, evidently, or small enough that we're not going to hire anybody. We're not going to incur that cost. We're not going to bring guns on our campus and go through all that hate and discontent. That's the bet. That's the bet. And I said, that's not acceptable anymore. And I don't know, but I'll bet you this. I bet when I go to this board meeting tonight, I bet there's an armed security officer there. Why? If you don't feel like protecting the lives of our children in 38 different installations around the community is important enough, why do we have an armed guard here? Why are you going to the expense of having an armed officer here? Oh, because it's your life? Well, I mean, come on. When was the last time you saw some armed citizen come here? So why is your life any more significant than the lives of our children? So we got into a discussion about a brief discussion about the bet. That's the bet. And you know, and it was interesting because, you know, you hear them say that, you know, it makes me sick to my stomach. This subject makes me sick to my stomach. Because in the video we've seen from all these different school shootings, you can see yourself. And, you know, we're one day closer to the next event. So, I have to go to another meeting tonight. But, I would encourage you, if you have kids, get involved because, elected bodies, especially schools, are slow to take action. And that's why they need, they don't need crazy people to come down there. What they do is they need people with experience. When I introduced myself, I said, look, I'm no stranger to security. I've guarded nuclear weapons. I've been elected to public office. I made 2 trips to Iraq and 1 to Afghanistan. I've seen death. And I said, so I came down here to deliver a couple messages. Our communities need us to get involved. So it's now a tribal mission. It's a tribal mission. I want to say one other thing. Another tribal mission. Join the Marine Corps League. Join the VFW. Join the American Legion. Join those organizations. All right. You have to do it. If you happen to be out and you're listening to this, the reason you need to do it is we are now those guys that were veterans when we were kids. So that's who we are now. Yeah. We're them. So what do they contribute to the community? They contribute an example of service. They help stage events that honor young people. So that's you now. That's me now. And we perpetuate the legacy of those who've gone before us to stand for something. So you need to do that if you haven't done it. And you need to be a part of it. You need to be part of you need to be a part of what goes on. And it's really important, I think, to our community, not just us as veterans and not our veteran community. It's important to the greater community that veterans assert themselves in the community, that veterans show what a diverse group we are, but how we're bound by one very important thing, and that is our belief in service, our common service to the nation, and that we think that's important. So a couple of missions now, all right? Get involved. Do it. Just join. Be a part of it, okay? And whether your contribution is you help run the essay contest about why service, the annual essay contest that the Legion runs, I think, why service to the nation is important. They do something like that. Very, very cool. Or you're part of the ceremonial detail. It matters not, right? Your job is to perpetuate the legacy, all right? And in issues like this, I think our measured voices, right, as people that have dealt with very, very serious issues like this and who can give people a glimpse into the future of what it's like if you don't do anything, I think that's important. So with all of that said, we'll start the program. Yeah, Ron Ray is on this morning. Very excited to do it. Duffy White, we're going to do Battlefield Study tomorrow, and we're going to do that about the march up. You heard him last week filling in for the gunner. Duffy's funny. But we're going to do, so we'll go over the scheme of maneuver for the march up, 2003. Everybody getting ready in Kuwait. And so Duffy, the battalion commander of 1st Light Armored Infantry or Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion. I can't remember which one it is. So, yeah, LAV 25, tow variant, mortar variant. All of that. So yeah, he'll join us tomorrow. So, yeah, pretty excited about that. And then on Thursday, an interview that I've been trying to do for probably over a year, and that is Wendy Lathine is going to join us. She is the wife of Clark Lathine, Colonel, United States Marine Corps, retired. Wendy was one of the principals, and still is involved in it heavily, of the creation of the Semper Fi Fund. Yeah.
Whoa.
The Semper Fi Fund started out as a group of Blue Diamond, 1st Marine Division, spouses that were dealing with the casualties of not only the march up, but then in 2004, as Al-Anbar exploded and the casualty list exploded, the KIA list got long. All the different needs of families, whether they had to go get a room at a hotel in San Antonio because their Marine had been burned and was in the burn unit there, whether they had to go to Bethesda because their Marine was an amputee now and was going to be there for a while, who pays for those kind of costs? So there was a huge need there. Well, these women got after it. And out of that came the Semper Fi Fund, which is now an incredible fundraising organization that does incredible good. So the story is a real, very, very cool story. So a cool week here on All Marine Radio, honestly. As well it should be. The other thing I want to remind you, if you live in the Southern California region, on Monday there'll be the dedication of the Vietnam Memorial in the 5th Marine Regiment, all right, in their memorial garden. So if you can get there, go to that. The thing is absolutely beautiful. What's just as beautiful is the personification of the word Semper Fidelis that tribal members live. Starting probably 47 years, right? Almost 50 years after, you know, their war ended. Those guys got together and raised over, you know, I want to say $400,000 for this memorial. That's right. Did he just say $400,000? Yeah, he did. So that every Marine that was killed in Vietnam, every corpsman that was attached to us, has their name on a wall in a garden at Camp San Mateo at Camp Pendleton, home of the Fighting 5th Marine Regiment. That's what Semper Fidelis means. Yeah, never gone away. Like Ken Pipes. Let me go back to his eulogy. So he's being eulogized, and through the course of one of the eulogies, someone says, and he reached out to a Marine, one of his Marines, to share his experience of faith with him and changed his life 25 years after the war. Okay. 25 years after the war would have been 1968, 1988 is 20, and 5 is 93. There wasn't any internet. Right? Phone calls and letters. But what was he doing? He was still being the skipper of Bravo Company 126. And he was that until the day he died. And so, very cool examples of what Semper Fidelis means in our lives. Like I said, on the tribal grounds, the Hotel Warrior, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. And there's these incredible stories that our culture is about, that I would tell you on a daily basis are inspirational. And I've said this before, we'll go over 2 years on this program next week, I think. As incredible as the things that Marines do on active duty, I would tell you that it's just as incredible the things they do post-active duty. Yeah. Honestly. It's absolutely amazing the impact that millions of Marines have on this country on a daily basis. And most of it is for the good. Most of it's for the good. So, and this week it's going to be a cool week. So Ron Reyes, Gold Star Son, going to join us here in about 22 minutes. So, looking forward to that. Ron's a good dude and had a wonderful time meeting him and getting to know him a little bit. And so, hopefully this will be the first of many visits. So, with all of that said, good morning to you. Dedicated to everybody who's already a member of a veterans organization, so they're already helping out, and who's already involved in their community. For those of us that aren't as evolved as we should be, time to get off our asses and get involved a little bit. Sebastian Younger made this point to me. He said, you know, Mac, our society doesn't exactly welcome you guys home. We're better at it than we used to be. But, and what that has caused in the age of the internet is you guys have vehicles like All Marine Radio where you guys go, much like the Legion bar and the VFW bar back in the day, right? But now you guys are creating your own subculture within the culture because you don't identify with us anymore, and that's to our detriment. We need you in a bigger culture. So, from Sebastian Younger, get involved a little bit. This is dedicated to that effort.
We are proud to play the title of the United States Army. so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make a jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Found out something interesting. One of the best writers, reporters that I've seen in my life, I started following him, and just casually, because he wrote for the New York Times, is a guy named Michael Gordon. Wrote for the New York Times. He now writes for the Wall Street Journal. I just noticed that. Because I was, I want to share with you. Yeah, it says his Wikipedia page says he's with the New York Times, but his column is appearing in the Wall Street Journal. They're not friendly. So I don't understand. Anyway, he's one of the best writers. I've told you that, you know, when you're there and you're reading reports and you're like, this guy's not even close. And he's writing for a major newspaper. It's like, you know what, the American people, they don't have a chance. Because the stuff they take as news is garbage. This guy's a reporter. He's not even close to it. Michael Gordon was always pretty close to being spot on. Pretty close. And so I was looking to go down the path of the conditions that Mike Pompeo laid out yesterday relative to Iran. He threw the carcass like right in the center of the floor. And I was looking for that, and I ran across Michael Gordon. So if you can see Michael Gordon's byline, whether it's in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, and I don't really understand how he writes for both, but I'll figure it out. I would recommend, read it. Let me know what you think. He's good. Well, the weather around Marineland here on Tuesday morning, mostly cloudy and 70 in Quantico, mostly cloudy 80 at Camp Lejeune, clouds and 75 in Granbury, Texas, rain and 57 in Montana. Montana man Surly, he's posting like stray videos, like in our like 5-person chat room. And then when you point it out to him, like, dude, why are you pointing how to load an M1 Garand rifle? Why are you posting how to load an M1 Garand rifle in this? Then he gets, like, belligerent. Like, and he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay, like, check the things with your name on it above, right? Find the video that you posted there, and then counsel yourself, okay? Then he got belligerent over that, even after he saw the error of his ways. So he's struggling out there for some reason. I'm not sure. But probably maybe because it's raining. Raining at 57 right now. 29 Palms, sunny in 67. Pendleton clouds in 58. Okinawa, dark, clear, and 77. Marja, about normal, dark, clear, and 84 at the home of All Marine Radio. We have a weather warning today. For cold air, it is cloudy and 60 on our way to a high of 66 stupid degrees. Yeah. There's a beach hazard in effect. Yeah. Should I share with you the beach hazard? From Action Recommended, avoid Orange County coastal region. Beach hazard statement remains in effect from 6 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time this morning through Thursday afternoon. Surf 4 to 6 feet. Yeah, if you live on the East Coast, you don't even know what surf is, okay? This is like 4 to 6 feet, cowabunga, dude. Highest surf on exposed south-facing beaches. Timing today through Thursday. Impacts, strong rip and longshore currents will create hazardous swimming conditions. Nobody's swimming right now. Only the crazy people are swimming. The water's too cold. All right. So just so you know, if you're here in the Southern California region, stay out of the water. Okay? Look around. If the people that are going into the water look like weirdos, that means they're wearing tie-dye stuff. They're rollerblading. Yeah. They're dancing on their skates at the beach. Yeah. If it's that group, don't do whatever they're doing. Leave them alone, okay? Stay with people that look to be relatively normal, okay, and do what they do. Don't get in the water. All right, we'll check Marine News, but I want to go with Mike Pompeo listing, what was it, 12 items? It was absolutely, positively hilarious, okay? So he calls out Iran, and the list just went on and on and on and on and on. And honestly, you listen to the list, and it begs the thought, like, what was our treaty with Iran? What was it doing? What was it doing? And so what were John Kerry and Barack Obama stalling Iran getting a nuclear device for 10 years so that Europe could do business with them, giving them back all that money that has since seen their destabilization of the Arab world get put on steroids? I would really love to hear these guys explain to the rest of us what what they were thinking about. What did they hope to achieve? And so I guess, you know, the more I look at this, the more I see, I mean, a world of appeasement, appeasing dictators, right? Now, so this is Secretary Pompeo yesterday, right?
Actions will be painful if the regime does not change its course from the unacceptable and unproductive path it has chosen to one that rejoins the League of Nations. These will indeed end up being the strongest sanctions in history when we are complete. The regime has been fighting all over the Middle East for years. After our sanctions come in force, it will be battling to keep its economy alive. Iran will be forced to make a choice, either fight to keep its economy off life support at home or keep squandering precious wealth on fights abroad. It will not have the resources to do both.
Boom. I like that. I like that. What can I say? We were going to continue to play charades with the Iranians? Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like the whole charades thing. I want to get to the list, though. I want to get to the part of the list. Let's see if this is the part.
Get rid of musty odors and excess moisture with DampRid.
If your house has moisture problems...
Don't you love these commercials? DampRid.
Easy to use and works great.
I've never even heard of it.
Moisture absorbers eliminate the excess moisture that causes musty odors and lasts for up to 60 days.
The moisture in the...
Oh, you people that live in the South and on the East Coast, you need stuff like this.
How DampRid pulls all this moisture out of the air. To prevent moisture damage.
It yanks moisture out of the air.
Musty odors and excess moisture.
Yeah. DampRid. You can get it.
I spent the first couple weeks of my time as Secretary of State working to try... to see if there wasn't a way to fix the deal. I spoke with my European counterparts. I traveled there in my 13th hour as Secretary of State. I was on the ground in Brussels speaking with my European counterparts. We couldn't get it done. We couldn't reach agreement there. The United States intends to work hard at the diplomatic piece of working alongside all of our partners. We focus on the Europeans, but there are scores of countries around the world who share our concerns and are equally threatened by the Iranian regime. It's that shared interest, it's the value set, which will ultimately drive, I believe, a global response to this, to the world's largest state-sponsored terror. I'm convinced it can take place. My team is going to work diligently to do that. We're going to do so in the context of trying to address the concerns of all of our partners.
So what are the concerns? What's really interesting is Europe in all of this. Iran continues to destabilize the Middle East, which continues to create, to send refugees into Europe, right? And there's that cultural clash between Islam and developed Western Judeo-Christian nations that we've seen take place in Germany, in France, in the UK, that it's still to be written whether they can peacefully coexist. So the business ties empower Iran to destabilize Europe. So European business creates the fuel, economic fuel, that Iran uses to destabilize the Middle East, that destabilizes Europe. It's a circular problem, yes? And they don't want to do anything about it. They want to keep doing business.
I'm convinced that over a period of time, there will be a broad recognition that the strategy that President Trump has laid out is the right one, that will put Iran in a place where it will one day rejoin civilization in the way that we all hope that it will.
It's clear through...
This is him at the Heritage Foundation, so we'll listen to a couple more minutes.
Your comments this morning that you truly want tough sanctions, and I think that... there is some remaining concern about how are you going to deal with the nuclear concerns. Can you speak to that for just a bit? And let me say to our audience, by the way, that I wish we had more time with the Secretary this morning. And there will be an abrupt and a hard stop because we have to get him out to the CIA and for the swearing-in ceremony, and we don't want you late for that. So... talk to us about it.
Got to go back one more time.
One more time.
Look, the nuclear file is imperative. It presents the largest, most severe threat for sure. The JCPOA fell short. It was a delay. Our aim is to get that permanently fixed. I mentioned quickly, right? We ask our other Middle Eastern partners.
I think that's important. When you think of the Iran deal, it was a delay. Okay? It was a delay. So what's the long-term course of action? If, as Saudi Arabia and Egypt have both said, if they get a nuclear weapon, we'll have one or more.
To do hard things, we put a 1-2-3 agreement in front of them and say, this is what you have to do. And they say, hey, the Iranians are rich. That's a reasonable, that seems to me a reasonable point. Well, our demands from Iran aren't unreasonable. Give up your program. End it. Should they choose to go back, should they begin to enrich, we're fully prepared to respond to that as well. I'm certainly not going to share with you today precisely what our response will be. But we watch them talk. We've heard them say, I hope that they'll make a different decision, that they'll choose a different path. We welcome them taking a path that other nations in their region are beginning to take as well.
Well, can you explain for us the sanction structure and how you intend to target the Iranian regime without hurting our European friends?
Well, anytime sanctions are put in place, countries have to give up economic activity. So the Americans have given up economic activity now for an awfully long time. And I'll concede there are American companies who would love to do business with the Islamic Republic of Iran. There's a huge market there. It's a big, vibrant, wonderful peoples. But everyone's going to have to participate in this. Every country is going to have to understand that we cannot continue to create wealth for Qasem Soleimani. Right? That's what this is. At the end of the day, this money has flowed to him. The economics have permitted them to run roughshod across the Middle East. Our effort is to strangle his economic capacity to do harm to the Middle East and to the world. Nuclear programs aren't cheap. To the extent we are effective at making it more difficult on the Iranian regime, we will reduce the capacity to continue to build out their nuclear weapon system as well.
You've laid out a very, very bold plan this morning. Do you have a time frame for getting all this done?
So the sanctions are back in place and are winding down over the next 155 days. There's lots more work in place. It is an effort across all of government. We're working certainly diplomatically in the lead, but Department of Commerce, Department of Defense, each of us has the same mission from President.
All right. So you get where we're going. I'll get the list, but the list is pretty funny. It's not funny. It's all the crap that Iran's doing. I look at, and again, I've said this for a couple of years. History is not going to be kind to Barack Obama. You know, he seems like a pleasant man, but I think he was not experienced enough for the job. Okay. He was not experienced enough for the job. And so he was weak. And you're seeing all, so how was this deal a good deal? What, because Europe got to do business and make billions of dollars off Iran? That was good? What about the second order effect of pumping money into a regime that is prepared to lay the wood to Israel, prepared to lay the wood to Saudi Arabia, to Egypt, all of that? What about that? How are you going to ferry dust that way, Mr. Obama, Mr. Secretary, John Kerry? Anyway, so I'm gonna check Marine headlines real quick. I'm gonna run through just the titles of the top five, and then you're gonna get a chance to hear from a Gold Star son today, and excited to hear him, Ronald Reyes, known as Ron. He's a real estate guy. So maybe we'll ask him some real estate questions, too. Story, shrinking the infantry squad. Why the Corps wants to fight with fewer Marines. Yeah, I'm curious about that. Sergeant Major Brad Castle retired after 34 years in the Marine Corps. And one of the photos that when you remember the fighting in Iraq and around Fallujah, you remember him being helped out of some kind of building with a gunshot wound to the thigh, two Marines on either arm, and his 9mm in his hand, draped around one of the Marines. That was Sergeant Major Castle. He's retiring as the Sergeant Major of 1 Man. So, congratulations to him and all the best of luck. So, that in Marine Corps news. Washington Nationals, PenFed partner to give free tickets all season to military and veterans. Whoa. Whoa. So those are new stories. This is the Pentagon's. This goes to the reach of China. Right. The Pentagon may rename the U.S. Pacific Command to Indo-PACOM. All right, so, and then Early Bird, and then we'll take a quick break, and then Ron Ray is going to join us. Top five stories. Number one, the reasons U.S. cyber defense must up its battle rhythm. Two, that fiery B-1B Lancer landing in Texas was reportedly a commander's worst nightmare. Three, Indo-PACOM, Pentagon may rename U.S. Pacific Command. Four, here's how House lawmakers plan to fix the U.S. military's hypoxia problem. Nice. Five, the IRS doesn't know who's accessing its most sensitive data. That is awesome. That is awesome. And then there's stories in Stars and Stripes today. Some Marine Corps facilities at Camp Foster and Camp Kinzer in southern Okinawa will be moving to Camp Hansen in the northern part of the island prefecture. That's been stuff that's supposedly has been supposed to happen for a long time. The southern part of the island, the most dense part of the island. And so the Marine Corps are trying to get out of the way of Okinawa. Yeah. And I'm just checking one more place. Another interesting story in Stars and Stripes. NFL helmet maker helping curb service members' head injuries in combat. The company's name is Vicis, V-I-C-I-S, maker of the 01 football helmet, is partnering with the U.S. Army to research ways to reduce head injuries in the military. There you have it. Football, making a contribution. All right, we're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Gold Star Sun, Ron Reyes. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.